This afternoon is from 2 Corinthians, Paul's second letter to the church at Corinth. We're going to be reading through chapter 4 and into chapter 5 in the Pew Bibles found on page 1328, 1328. And we are turning to this portion of Scripture. Do you hear me now? Very good. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, and this is in connection with the last two phrases in the Apostles' Creed that we will make use of again before we go home this afternoon. I believe in the resurrection of the body and the life everlasting. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. I'm going to start at verse 1. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 1. Therefore, since we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we do not lose heart. But we have renounced the hidden things of shame, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your bondservants for Jesus' sake. For it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. We are hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed, always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. For we who live are always delivered to death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. So then death is working in us, but life in you. And since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, I believed and therefore I spoke, we also believe and therefore speak, knowing that he who raised up the Lord Jesus will also raise us up with Jesus and will present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that grace, having spread through the many, may cause thanksgiving to abound to the glory of God. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. For we know that if our earthly house, this tent, is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed with our habitation, which is from heaven. if indeed having been clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we who are in this tent groan, being burdened, not because we want to be unclothed, but further clothed, that mortality may be swallowed up by life. Now he who has prepared us for this very thing is God, who also has given us the Spirit as a guarantee. So we are always confident, knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord, for we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, yes, well pleased, rather to be absent from the body and to be present or at home with the Lord. Therefore, we make it our aim, whether present or absent, to be well pleasing to Him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. Knowing, therefore, the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. But we are well known to God, and I trust are well known in your consciences. I will stop there in our reading. I urge you to keep your Bibles open here, if you're able, here in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And then I'll ask you to take with me Heidelberg Catechism. We'll turn to Lord's Day 22. You may find it in the Forms and Prayers books, if you have them, on page 223, or in the back of the Trinity Psalter Hymnal, page 881. Summarizing the Bible's teaching on the resurrection of the body and the life everlasting. Lord's Day 22, question 57. How does the resurrection of the body comfort you? Not only will my soul be taken immediately after this life to Christ its head, but also my very flesh, raised by the power of Christ, will be reunited with my soul and made like Christ's glorious body. How does the article concerning life everlasting comfort you? Even as I already now experience in my heart the beginning of eternal joy, so after this life, I will have perfect blessedness, such as no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no heart has ever imagined, a blessedness in which to praise God eternally. So far, what we read in summary of the Bible's teaching. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, I don't know about you, or I don't know what your experience is with regard to living in tents. Some people think it's fun. I prefer my own bed at home. But some people pursue the living in tents as an opportunity, as something to enjoy and experience. But I think we can appreciate that living in tents is something that is temporary, something you wouldn't want to have to do all the time. It speaks of being on the way. It speaks of being pilgrims headed towards something. Now, we in the morning services have been looking at the life of Abraham and God's dealings with him in the chapters 12 through 25 of Genesis. In Hebrews, in the New Testament, reference is made to the life of Abraham. In Hebrews 11, verse 9, it says, by faith he dwelt in the land of promise as in a foreign country. God said, this is going to be your land, but he lived there as a foreigner. He lived there as a sojourner. Maybe kind of like a refugee, you could say. Dwelling in tents, it said, with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. They dwelt in tents. For, Hebrews 11, verse 10, he waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. So Abraham's life is a testimony to us of what life is like in terms of the temporary pilgrimage on the way to something better. Abraham looked for the city whose builder and maker is God. Abraham had his eyes set on the promise of God and the reality of eternal life with God. Now, you probably also know that after Abraham, God's people for 400 years were kept again out of that promised land, and they lived in Egypt. But when they were delivered from Egypt, they were asked to wander about in the wilderness for 40 years, partly because of their unbelief. But what did they do for 40 years? They lived in tents. And what did God do? He established a tabernacle among them, a tent, a big tent, you could say. But that was a reminder that God would be with his people. The gospel itself, in terms of what we enjoy in the Lord Jesus Christ, is described in the same way in terms of tabernacles and tents. John 1, verse 14 said, "The Word became flesh and dwelt among us," literally, tabernacled or tented among us. That's Jesus coming to take on our flesh. Now, what the Apostle Paul is speaking about here in the language we've seen in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 1, he says, "We know that if our earthly house, this tent, is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens." So you could say Paul is describing this earthly pilgrimage as life in a tent. And you could also make application in terms of the tent that he is speaking of is the body with which we are clothed. And we are to be encouraged in terms of what God teaches us in the Bible in terms of the resurrection of the body. When we will be further clothed, when our bodies will be made like Christ's glorious body, that is the blessing that we have to look forward to as Christians. Those who put their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ may know that we will always be with the Lord. And we get that from what Paul is saying in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 8. "We are confident, yes, well pleased, rather to be absent from the body." There will be a time in our lives when we live in terms of that, when our bodies are put into the grave, but we go on to live with God, absent from the body, and our translation says to be present with the Lord. Literally, it could be translated at home with the Lord, or at home before the face of the Lord. That is a confidence that we may have. And I want to unpack this blessing of eternal life, the blessing of everlasting life and the resurrection of the body sort of as a package, the way Lord's Day 22 summarizes it from the Bible, as a great comfort and encouragement to us in view of the fact that we may say we are always at home with the Lord. Always at home with the Lord. And we're going to divide it up in terms of how we experience that along the way. So, always at home with the Lord begins today for believers. It's a blessing we know by God's grace in Jesus today. It continues tomorrow if we get gray-headed and old. I was going to say bald, but not all of us are afflicted in that way. We know that one day we are going to die. Unless the Lord Jesus Christ returns, we're going to die. But even if we are for that time absent from our bodies, we will always be with the Lord. That's tomorrow. And then the reality is even better than that. it will be for forever. That will be our third point as we seek to make our way through this teaching. So we're speaking about the blessing of eternal or everlasting life. And I want to take you to the second question and answer in the catechism. How does the article concerning life everlasting comfort you? It says, even as I already now, experience in my heart the beginning of eternal joy. So there is something more after this life, is what it goes on to say. But it begins already now. That's an important reality. It's an important blessing for us to appreciate. Maybe I could just read with you from John chapter 5. John's Gospel, Jesus' words in John chapter 5 at verse 24. Jesus says, John 5 verse 24, "Most assuredly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life and shall not come into judgment, but has passed from death into life." Did you hear what the Lord Jesus Christ has said? He who believes in him who sent me has everlasting life. Everlasting life, we may tend to think of that as something that is to look forward to, and it is. But by the grace of God, it's something we may have already now. Jesus actually said the same thing in maybe a more familiar verse to us, John 3, verse 16. "For God so loved the world that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but has everlasting life." That is a reality we enjoy today. And I think that same sort of confidence, that same sort of conviction about what we have is expressed by the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 1. "We know that if our earthly house, this tent, is destroyed," and we can see that as a reference to the fact that this body is going to die, "we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens." And there too, we are speaking about the blessing of eternal life. And in that connection, we're speaking about what it is always to be at home with the Lord. Always at home with the Lord. And it's a blessing that is enjoyed by faith. Again, as our catechism summarized it, I do already now experience in my heart the beginning of eternal joy. Now, it's a beginning. That means we should not be surprised that life as we experience it with God, at home with God, by faith today, also comes with difficulties, also comes with many challenges. Paul described it in terms of his own life and ministry back in 2 Corinthians 4, verse 6. "We are hard-pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. We are persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed." Always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. "For we who live are always delivered to death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh." Further on, in 2 Corinthians 4, verse 17, not 16, he says, "We don't lose heart." Why? "Even though our outward man is perishing," that's the tent he's going to be speaking about, we're all dying here, you can say. We're dying. We're getting older. "Yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, And don't be offended when the Apostle Paul speaks of the heavy burdens that you sometimes have to bear as a light affliction. He's speaking comparatively. He's not being insensitive. He says our light affliction. A light affliction compared to what? Compared to the weight of glory that awaits us. Affliction, however difficult it is, and it's difficult, is light compared to the weight of glory. Our light affliction is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we do not look at the things, 5 verse 18, which are seen, but the things which are not seen, the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Verse 7 of chapter 5, for we walk by faith, not by sight. We walk by faith, not by sight. So, we take this rich blessing with the realization that, yes, it's the beginning of eternal joy. That means we, as 5 verse 2, 5 verse 4 says, we groan, we have difficulties, we're perishing, we're dying here. But we do have the beginning of eternal joy. We do have that confidence that that is our blessing already now in Jesus Christ. And you don't have that by sight. You might not see that. Perhaps as we grow old and get sick and die, what we see with our eyes will not be encouraging at all. But we walk by faith and not by sight. And how is it that we may know that we are at home with the Lord, that we know this blessing of eternal life already now? It is by faith. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's like coming home. Home with God. That's what eternal life is, to know God, to know that He is your God and Savior. This is eternal life, Jesus says. John 17, verse 3, to know God and to know Him whom He has sent. So believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and come home. Live in that confidence and know that you are at home with the Lord today. Today. It is by faith. And let me just try to impress that upon you by warning us about the way that many people carelessly misunderstand eternal life. And I'm sure I've made reference to this before. R.C. Sproul used to speak of how his son, when he was a little boy, spoke of the idea that, well, what do you need to do to go to heaven? Well, you need to die. And then you go to heaven. That's the idea of many people. You die, then you go to heaven. But as R.C. Sproul would explain that, and his son would later be able to explain that as well, we are not justified by death. We don't get to go to heaven just because we die. We are justified by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. We walk by faith and not by sight. So you're able to say, I'm at home with God today by faith. And I pray that all of us know that and know Him and are at home with Him today, experiencing the beginning of eternal joy. Jesus has said, I have come that you may have life and have it to the full. There is no greater joy than to know we belong to God. And nothing will separate us from His love. So that's today. The blessing is also ours tomorrow. And what I want to speak about here is the confidence we may have the moment that we die. Back to question 57, or answer 57. When it asks, how does the resurrection of the body comfort you? And the answer is, not only will my soul be taken immediately after this life to Christ its head, but then it goes on to speak about after that, the resurrection. But let's not forget what is actually being said here in the not only part. My soul will be taken immediately after this life to Christ, its head. And again, we may see that in terms of what Paul is talking about here in this chapter as well. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 6. We're always confident, knowing that while we're at home in the body, there's a sense in which we're absent from the Lord. We're not in heaven with him yet. For we walk by faith, not by sight. But then verse 8, we are confident, yes, well pleased, rather than to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. And you tie that in with what we've seen already in 5 verse 1. We know that if our earthly house, this tent, is destroyed, if our bodies are going to die, we have a building from God. A house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. So we will always be present with the Lord. Immediately, when we die, we may close our eyes and breathe our last breath, and we open our eyes in the presence of Jesus. We will be with him where he is, and we will behold his glory. Always at home with the Lord. There are no breaks in this blessed reality. There are no pauses along the way. And sometimes there are those who have taught things like, you know, when you die, it's sort of you go to sleep, and maybe you'll wake up in the resurrection, and then you'll see Jesus in your body. No, the teaching of the Bible is, yes, you will see Jesus in the resurrection. But in the meantime, we call it the intermediate state. Immediately when we die, we will be with the Lord. And you're probably familiar with verses that we could appeal to encourage us beyond what we see here in 5 verse 1 and 5 verse 8. The Apostle Paul, for instance, in Philippians 1 verse 21, for me, to live is Christ, to die is gain. To live is Christ means, yes, I'm at home with the Lord today. I have eternal life in the Lord Jesus Christ today, but for me to die, that's even better. Not that we embrace death in that way, not that we seek after death in the way that our culture is sadly inclining with medical assistance in dying, those kinds of things. That's not the point. As long as we live for Christ. For me to live is Christ, but to die, the moment I die, that is even better. That's an encouragement and a confidence we may have for tomorrow. Boys and girls, you probably know, I think it was Jesus' second word from the cross to the thief, I think, on his right, the one who came to acknowledge, even though for the first little while, that one was cursing at Jesus as well, but he came to acknowledge as the three of them are hanging on crosses that Jesus has done nothing wrong, and he says, Jesus, please remember me when you come into your kingdom. He put his trust in Jesus as they were dying on the cross. And Jesus said to him, Luke 23, verse 43, assuredly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise. The moment we die, we get to go and be with God. So again, that's a great encouragement. But I just want to highlight the interesting way our catechism has summarized that. Not only, it says, will my soul be taken immediately after this life to Christ's head, but also my very flesh. This is in answer 57. So you get the sense that it says, don't spend all your time looking at the not only part. That is almost a passing reference. Not that it's unimportant, not that it's untrue. But don't get so focused on the moment you die, you get to go to be with Jesus. There's something better still. In a moment, we'll speak about that in our third point. But the idea is not that we would desire to be, just rid of these bodies and out of here. No. We're not interested in a disembodied state in that way. What we want is not to be found naked, so to speak. We want to be able to stand before God. But even if this body, this tent, is destroyed, we want to be further clothed. And that's the blessing that is promised us in the resurrection, when this body will be made like Christ's glorious body. It also means we do not downplay the importance of how we live with our bodies, what we do with our bodies, and how we live in this world. It's not like we're just looking forward to getting out of here. We want to serve the Lord in this world with our bodies and be a blessing to other people. Can I remind you what we read in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 10? We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. So how we live with our bodies is important. And the resurrection, this is coming into our third point in terms of the blessing that is ours forever, is such that it's not only that our bodies will be placed in the ground, and our souls will go and return to God who gave them. Our souls will go to be with Jesus. No, it's better than that. This body will be made like Christ's glorious body. One day, all of the graves will be opened, and everyone, Daniel 12 tells us, we've read from Jesus' words in John chapter 5 as well, everyone will stand before God in the body. I think of what Job said, the Old Testament old man, Job. Job 19, verse 25. He said, I know that my Redeemer lives. I know that my Redeemer lives. And the encouragement that we have in that, he said, he shall stand at last on the earth. Jesus will come again in his return, and we will be resurrected to be with him in our bodies. And then he says, Job 19, verse 26, after my skin is destroyed, this I know, that in my flesh, in this body, I will see God. With these eyes, I am going to see Jesus. I'm going to walk with Jesus in this body. Now, it's going to be a renewed body. That's the blessing that we look forward to forever. Right now we have our issues. We do get old. We struggle. We get cancer. We get sick. We lose our minds. We're not able to do what we once were able to do. But the blessing of the resurrection is all things will be made new. That is the encouragement. My very flesh, raised by the power of Christ, will be reunited with my soul and made like Christ's glorious body. So that is not just today, not just tomorrow, it's for forever. And what a blessed privilege that is. And when we think about that, what are we saying? After this life, there's another quote here in the end of answer 58. It comes from 1 Corinthians 2, verse 9. After this life, I will have perfect blessedness, such as no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no heart has ever imagined, a blessedness in which to praise God eternally. That's what we are made for, to glorify God, to praise Him always, without the brokenness of sin. That's what we have to look forward to. That's what we'll do. That's what we'll want to do, always. And what an encouragement that is. What an encouragement. We will be at home with the Lord. Now let me just challenge us to keep that in perspective. You know, we often speak of the blessing of eternal life and the resurrection in terms of things that will be great for us. We'll get to see some of our friends who've gone before us. Our parents, our grandparents, if they walked with the Lord, we'll see them. Jesus says in Luke chapter 13, on that day you will sit down in the kingdom with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. We'll get to see Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Those are wonderful things, but not the most important thing. Or we think about the fact we're not going to have cancer anymore. We're not going to need glasses anymore. We're not going to grow old anymore. All things will be made new. Glorious truths, but not the most important thing. Most important is the blessing we will be at home with the Lord. Always at home before the presence of the Lord. Always in His glorious presence. That's the richest blessing there is. And then everything else is bonus. Everything else comes along with that. But here's the encouragement. The blessing of knowing I will be at home with the Lord today, tomorrow, and forever is ours by faith. We walk by faith and not by sight. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 7. This is a rich, rich promise. And we're simply challenged. Let me challenge every one of you. Believe this. Believe Him. Trust Jesus. And know, I'm at home with God today. I'm forgiven. He loves me. He is my God and Savior. I will be with Him, and I'll be at home with Him when I die, and I'll be with Him forever in eternal life, in the resurrection of the body. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You. We thank You for the confidence that we may have, that with Abraham we may look to the city that has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Lord, we know that our outward man is perishing. We're dying and we face challenges. We're hard-pressed, we're perplexed, we're sometimes persecuted, we're sometimes struck down. But by Your grace, we're not crushed. We need not be in despair. We will not be forsaken. We will not be destroyed. Because the blessing of eternal life will never be taken from us, because it's eternal. Thank You, Lord Jesus, that You tell us You give Your sheep eternal life and no one will snatch them from Your hand. We pray that as we live in this hope today, for tomorrow, and for forever, You will help us also to make it our aim, as Paul says in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 9, to be well-pleasing to You. We pray that You would also enable us, knowing that one day we shall all stand before You. Help us, Lord, to persuade men. Help us to be agents of Your redeeming grace, of Your reconciling work. Help us to beseech friends and loved ones and those around us, our neighbors, our colleagues, to be reconciled to God. And we thank You that we may stand confidently in the knowledge that trusting in Jesus, we are received in grace and we have eternal life. Grant us all that confidence in Him. We pray it in His name. Amen.